But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
See Sparky Fiverr here. Charlie Usen producing the show, Other Side of the Glass. Joining us now, Jordan Tresky, author of a brand new book coming out this year called Building the Milwaukee Bucks. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan Tresky. Jordan, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to talk about this.
All right, so let's talk about it. Where did the inspiration come from doing this book? How long has it taken you to do it? How many interviews? Give us the lowdown.
So really it started when I started writing about the Bucks about like 10 years ago. I wrote at Behind the Buck Pass, which is the fan-sided Bucks, personal website there.
Yep.
And over the course there, we did a lot of Bucks history items and have always been fascinated with them. So really, like, when the Bucks won the championship, that kind of went into high gear about, going back and really exploring the original championship team, and obviously big figures within that, like Kareem, Oscar, and just the foundation of the team in general, because they won it so fast. So that was kind of the inspiration, and then I really probably went too far into it, as in some cases, but I just really couldn't get enough of just like how exciting that was, and just all the different angles of exploring that time period and where, how important the Bucks were to the NBA at that time, because, they get Kareem so in the second year, and it's such a big rallying point for that franchise in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they don't get Kareem. Everything is completely different, and we still probably don't have a championship until Giannis gets here at that point. Did you go through the whole process of the Kareem trade and how that all went down?
Yes, honestly, the Kareem trade is, I couldn't help but like keep going with that, because originally it was going to be about the championship team. And the more I kind of was researching and going to the public library and finding all these things that I just couldn't like get out of my brain, I was like, you got to keep going further about it, because it tells the entire story of like why the Bucks are so important to Milwaukee at that time, not just the NBA, but also the Kareem element of all, where the franchise literally gets built because of him, and he's coming into the NBA, and the fact that, eventually he does leave and is unhappy and all this stuff, that kind of tells like the story that I really wanted to tell with this book specifically.
Talking with Jordan Tresky, author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks, coming to Amazon and wherever you buy your books later this year in 2025. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan Tresky. Let's talk about that championship team, that first one, and the fact that they didn't get a parade or anything.
No. That is one of the wildest parts of this whole thing, because, I think in the history of Milwaukee sports, before the Bucks won in 21, you think of the 82 Brewers, and they didn't win the World Series, but they were such at that point in time, it was such an important team because of where the city was at and how they came to rally around that franchise at that time, because no one anticipated them going to the World Series. So when the Bucks are this dominant team and have one of the best seasons in NBA history, and there's no parade. There's nothing. The equivalent of it was they get home from playing in Baltimore after sweeping the Bullets, and I believe, numbers range from 10,000 people to 15,000 people swarmed the airport, but that was about it. Like, at that time, like, you know, it's very scattered of how important parades were to sports teams winning championships. So it's such a different world that we live in now that, you know, that's a given, you know.
It's absolutely crazy when you think about it at the end of the day. How about Jim Fitzgerald? Did you get into talking about Jim Fitzgerald and really the importance of him? Because it's hard to find anybody that has anything negative to say about that owner of that team during that time frame.
Yes, he does appear in the book. Honestly, it's probably it spells kind of the end of the era in a lot of ways, because when he comes into the fold, it means, you know, Larry Costello is fighting for a job and he eventually resigns. And so there's, you kind of see where the era ends, and you kind of see where the next chapter will eventually, you know, come into the picture, and, you know, hopefully with another book, I can explore a lot more of that too. But yeah, it's honestly, part of it was Kareem and Oscar. Those are like the temples that really fascinated me, but it goes back to the founders of like Marvin Fishman and Wes Pavilon. And, you know, I think if you asked a regular Bucks fan off the street of like who created the team, you think it's Herb Kohl, and he does play a role in that story. But you know, those two are in particular, between Fishman and Pavilon, are so important to the story for a wide variety of reasons that, you know, my book gets into.
I can't tell you I know a lot about Pavilon or Fishman. Were either one of them local to Milwaukee? Were they outsiders coming in, like the current ownership group? What was that all about?
So Marvin Fishman was he was kind of the guy that got everything going. He was looking for an AFL franchise in the mid-60s. And this is within the context of the Milwaukee Braves are leaving, County Stadium is going to lie vacant. He was looking at, you know, there's an open stadium. Let's bring a football franchise here. And of course, the Packers had a lot of things to say about that, specifically Vince Lombardi. So he kind of ruffles some feathers that way. And it, from what starts as a mission to bring a football team to Milwaukee, it goes to the NBA. And then, you know, he was a realtor, you know, nothing, not a man of like many means. So that's where Wes Pavilon comes in the picture. And he's kind of like, oh man, it's like a Mark Twain character built to life, because every story about him is like, what? Like you have no idea what is true and what is fiction, but he builds this crazy empire called Career Academy and basically is like the moneymaker for the Bucks. And he's the guy that he wants Lou Alcindor. He has this specific plan to build the Bucks into a championship team. And everybody's like, you're crazy, but it's going to work. And obviously it does.
When we talk about the Bucks, I think people forget Milwaukee had an NBA team. They were the Milwaukee Hawks, and then they lost them to Atlanta, and they were without a franchise for 13 years previous to them then becoming the Bucks. I cannot fathom not having a pro basketball team, baseball team, or football team to root for. And the heartbreak and the disgust and the angst, like Seattle losing the Sonics. Like, I don't know if I'd even want a damn NBA team back after that were to happen to me. And the Braves leaving Milwaukee to go somewhere else, and Bud eventually bringing in the co-pilots and naming them the Brewers at some point. And the Bucks, that wasn't, did you get into the whole naming contest as far as how that whole thing played out? The Bucks wasn't even the winner of the naming contest among the fans.
Yes, yeah, all of that, you're hitting right the wheelhouse. This is my favorite part about it, because it's such an interesting time in Milwaukee. And, you know, you obviously have, there's, you know, I'm from Milwaukee, or, you know, adjacent to Milwaukee, and sports is such a big part of our lives. And I think through exploring this time frame, you understand why it was so important to everybody that the Braves are leaving. Everybody, you know, they're looking at Major League Baseball and are so upset of why this decision to move the franchise was so based in money. It wasn't based in, you know, they won a World Series in 1957. Then 8 years later, they're moving. So a lot of it always comes back to the Braves. And when I was doing the research and looking at all this stuff, I'm just like, everybody was so mad.
Yep.
Everybody was so mad about that. And part of, even when the Bucks get, you know, they get awarded the franchise, Mayor Henry Meyer, obviously, you know, everybody knows who that is with Summerfest and the creation of that and Summerfest Park being named after him. He mentioned in a statement that it, you know, it's this kind of triumphant, you know, everybody thought Milwaukee had a black eye for leading the Braves. And it, like, he mentions the Braves in the statement about the Bucks being born. So it's like, that was such a big point in talking about the culture in Milwaukee and why it was such a big, it was bigger than sports. It was about the reputation of the city itself. So that's where, like, you see stuff like this happen now. Like, the Athletics just moved from Oakland not that long ago. And it's such a, it happens in sports today. And it's just an unfortunate part of it that.
Yeah, but
you're.
The crazy thing about this, Jordan, is, okay, so here we go. We got an NBA team. Woohoo! And they drew like less than 10,000 people to the first game. Oh, yeah, like 8,000 or something crazy like that?
Yeah, it was not a given. I know you mentioned too, like the Hawks, like it's just crazy how deep it all goes, where Ben Kerner, a very little known figure in Milwaukee sports history, he's the guy that brings the Hawks to Milwaukee. And the Hawks were terrible, terrible beyond all repair. And they weren't, you know, no one's going to see a bad team at that time where, you know, this is before the shot clock is even a thing. So basketball is just in a very different world at that point. But Ben Kerner is the head of the expansion committee in the 60s when the NBA is starting to really look at all these cities and they're trying to fight off the NBA or the ABA. And he could have said anything, like everything bad about Milwaukee because, you know, he lived through that. He tried to sell this team over to a city that didn't want it, but he really believed, because, you know, there was no other team in the market, that basketball will go over well here. And that's where he's kind of like this weird unsung hero who lived through having a terrible team, having to leave, but believing that Milwaukee could eventually, you know, field a successful NBA team.
Good stuff. This book's going to be amazing. Jordan Tresky, author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll let you know when it's officially available coming up here in 2025. Follow him on Twitter. He'll let you know there for sure as well, at Jordan Tresky. Jordan, thanks so much for coming on. I know you're a huge Bucks fan. So one current Bucks question before we let you go. Your thoughts on Middleton going to the bench starting tonight and going forward the rest of the year? Do you look at this as a good or a bad thing?
It's certainly obviously they want to shake things up. That is very clear. I think it's ultimately, you know, they're resigned to the fact that this idea of Chris Middleton becoming what we saw in 21, and he's helping bring the Bucks to the NBA Finals. He's dropping 40 points in a finals game and effectively being, you know, the whatever Batman Robin scenario that was being talked about at the time. It's just, you know, with all the injuries that he's had, it's the struggle to get back to that point has been so extended that I could see it being a good move, but ultimately are they doing everything that they can to insulate him? Yes, because he's just not the same player as he once was, you know, and it stinks, but it's, I think, coming to grips with that reality with him personally. You know, what does that spell for his future beyond the season? Because he has a team option, could leave.
Player option.
Sorry.
At $34 million.
Yes. I mean, that's where it gets really tough, that you have to juggle the personal side of all these decisions that I don't think they're, you know, you hope that they're prepared to make.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out. Trade deadline's coming up. I can't imagine they move him, but we'll see. Jordan Tresky, again, author of the brand-new book coming out this year, Building the Milwaukee Bucks. Follow him on Twitter at Jordan Tresky. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.